9 o'clock. Thanks for joining us. Jam and the Buckeye Boy from the Bozarth Miller Chevrolet Buick Studios, the most trusted name in automobiles. Still looking for a winner today, by the way.
Yes.
For the number game.
How many times out of the last 27, or the only 27 games, the Rockies and Red Sox have played in the regular season, how many have the Rockies won? We have guesses of 3, 8, 12, 14, all incorrect.
All right, so get your answer in now to win that case of Coors Original, the banquet beer from High Country Beverage. Text, we've got it surrounded, by the way. Text your answer in, 970-242-1340. All right, got a couple here. Marty, bad call, abysmal call that smacks of complete desperation. Their whole problem this year was depth, and they make their depth even worse. Go Nuggets. Talking about the acquisition of Bradley Beal, because now there's talk they're going to trade DeAndre Ayton. Okay. Interesting thing about the Bradley Beal to Phoenix trade that's that multiple outlets are reporting it's going to happen. That there's a good reason why it's Phoenix for Bradley Beal. You know, he's Beal's agent.
He's the son or father of somebody in the Suns front office.
Mark Bartlestein is the agent for Bradley Beal. His dad is the Suns CEO.
Nailed it.
Okay, sorry, Josh. I had to get it straight here. The dad is the agent. The son is the CEO of the Suns. So I think you were, yeah.
Yeah, I knew it was father-son. I just didn't remember who was where.
Son is with the Suns. Dad is Bradley Beal's agent. So big shock there that Bradley Beal.
Wonder how they got that deal done.
Yeah. Who knows, right?
It's interesting.
Yeah, interesting. Does it help them? I guess. But
I mean, I don't know if it actively makes them worse, but does it help them in the long run? I'm with you. I don't know.
And like I said, I was reading an article about the possibility of DeAndre Ayton getting traded. And Ayton averaged 18 points, 10 rebounds this past season. And so there's been some talk that maybe that, you know, is he worth the, you know, $30 million a year, whatever they said that when Ayton last summer, when he hit restricted free agency, the Pacers offered him $120 million and the Suns matched it. And so the feeling is that the Suns may not feel like he's worth that money now and may end up trying to trade him someplace. Which, when you're trying to combat Nikola Jokic, if your goal is to win the West, doesn't DeAndre Ayton give you the best chance for that to happen?
Yeah, at least when it comes to that side of it, yeah.
So it seems, you know, to me that with the loss of Shamet, they're trading several second-round draft picks. Chris Paul, I'd take Bradley Beal over Chris Paul at this point in time. Absolutely, I would. So I don't think that's a loss there, because what did we see in the Nuggets series? Chris Paul didn't play. Mm-hmm. He's hurt. And they were better without him on the floor because they could play an up-tempo game.
Yeah. They still have Cameron Payne, I guess.
Who replaced Chris Paul in the lineup.
You know, but like for Ayton making $32 million next year, that's going to be way too much committed to guys, because most of their salary cap is going to be gobbled up by those four guys: Durant, Beal, Booker, Ayton. Kevin Durant at 47%, or $47 million. Bradley Beal at $46 million. Booker at 36. Ayton at 32. And one of those guys is not like the others. I understand that DeAndre Ayton gives them their best chance to combat Nikola Jokic, but that's a lot of money for a guy that's not really done much.
I mean, he's 18 and 10 this last season. He's 24. it is a lot. It's $30 million. Mm-hmm. And that's where the Suns are having their paws on him and go, okay, do we really want to continue on with DeAndre Ayton? I just feel like that's something you got to think long and hard about. Because while Nikola Jokic wasn't entirely slowed down by DeAndre Ayton, Ayton played fairly well against him at times during that series. And are you going to be able to find a guy that can... Nobody's going to totally counteract what Nikola Jokic brings to the table. Not at this point in time. And Ayton's not necessarily that guy. But you have to have some semblance of an inside presence. And if Ayton's gone, then what is... I mean, obviously they'll go out and try to find somebody else. Right. But, I mean, what is that presence inside for them? I don't know. I mean, I guess a lot of money... And it's more money than he probably should be making. And now they've got to make some really tough, as you referenced, some really tough financial decisions.
But Beal, Booker, and Durant, still there's only one basketball.
Exactly. And
there's a salary cap, which I don't think people even really pay lip service to. But
And my feeling is this, how often has that worked out? You have the three guys, the three stars. Worked out in Miami somewhat. And they won titles, and it, so it wasn't with Wade and Bosh and LeBron. They didn't win six championships,
right.
but they were successful. But how often has that worked out? It doesn't work out very often, does it?
Not recently, no.
Not in recent years, where you bring the three superstars, they come together. Golden State, it worked out, but then again, all those guys were already there, with the exception of when Durant went there and played.
You know, for the Heat, they played 4 years, went to four finals, won two of them.
Yeah.
The Warriors went to four finals in a row with Kevin Durant, won two of those, or they didn't go to all four with KD, but when KD was there for 2 years, they won, you know, but since then, the super team has not, look at the Lakers. The one they won with was not a super team. When they tried to get the third star, it never worked out.
Right.
And they got better this year when they got rid of that third guy in Russell Westbrook.
And the case of Miami, I mean, the expectations were bigger than that, though. Mm-hmm. Still, you go to four straight finals, that's damn impressive.
Yeah.
That's not nothing. But the feeling was, with those three, they should win three or four.
Mm-hmm.
And they won two, which is still, once again, we act like that's nothing. That's not nothing. I just look at, like with Golden State, their guys were already there. Mm-hmm. And Durant was just an added part of what they had with the Splash Brothers, where they were already in position, whether they had Durant or not, they were in position to challenge for an NBA championship.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they were going to win anyway because they had won one. They had been to the finals, which they lost on this day. In 2016 to my Cavs. And then they got Durant and they went to two in a row, or three in a row, lost the two, or won the two, lost to Kawhi Leonard and the Raptors in 2019, which kind of was the end of the super team era, at least for now. Because Raptors, Lakers, Bucks, Warriors, Nuggets, none of those are really super teams. The Warriors team that won last year wasn't a super team.
No.
It had the same guys that had... three rings and five appearances.
They just got Steph Curry healthy.
Yeah, they got everybody healthy. So, you know, they
and
didn't
Thompson
need...
was back, and he wasn't 100. He was a little bit like Jamal Murray, wasn't 100%.
A little bit.
Though Jamal's impact was far greater than Klay Thompson last year.
Yeah, so, you know, it's just like the super team era might be over. And it's not been shown to work the last few years because any of the super teams haven't won anything.
And so if you're Phoenix, you feel like this is going to be the piece that makes the difference for you. And in this last season, 23.2 points per game for Bradley Beal, 5.4 assists, 84% from the foul line, 36.5 from 3-point range. I mean, he's a really good player, and he's a nice addition for them. I just don't think that's enough because they don't have the depth. They just don't at this point in time. Don't know what this roster is going to look like moving forward, but certainly they don't have the depth. And that seems to be kind of the vibe about this deal. is that, okay, it's great you got him, but there's no guarantee of having enough horses to get you across the finish line, to get you to the NBA Finals, to get you out of the West, you know, through the Nuggets and the Lakers and the Warriors and Memphis. The West is tough, and the West is going to be another bare-knuckles brawl, and I think Phoenix will make themselves only slightly better than they were before in terms of talent on the floor with those three guys. But what does it mean in terms of the depth? Well, we'll have to see what happens. All right, 9-11. Jim along with the Buckeye boy today. We're still looking for a winner?
No, we got one.
Okay, very good.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, the winner of the contest.
It's another winner on the Team Sports Network.
Colin first in the door with 13. 13 and 14 all time against the Red Sox, not in the 2007 World Series for the Rockies.
Because they got swept.
Yes. Hey, but if they won that series finale last week, if they would have swept Boston, they would have, in the regular season, an above 500 record.
Yeah.
Against the Sox, who've won 5 rings in 20 years.
Yeah.
It's not bad.
Not bad. Not
they just
bad
can't
all.
Seem to beat anybody else.
All right. So bring back some of our interviews from last week. We had Jackson Wilson on River City Sportplex, because River City Sportplex played a big role in a Chassa-sponsored hockey team here in the Valley. It's going to be through Caprock Academy, but they'll be playing, of course, at River City Sportplex, and have the chance to talk with Jackson Wilson about how it's all come together with Caprock Academy and the people over at River City Sportplex. Jackson, how you doing, man? Good to talk with you today.
Good, man. Today's a good day. Yesterday was a monumental day for hockey in Grand Junction, so we're doing pretty well.
Now, take us through this, because we had Daniel Salazar on, Caprock Academy's AD, and talked about the partnership that Caprock Academy has with Grand Junction Hockey, with River City Sportplex, and this endeavor of ice hockey, Chassa-sponsored ice hockey coming to town. I know ever since I've met you, since you've arrived in Grand Junction, this has been one of your goals. And, you know, after stumbling block, after challenge, you finally be able to put this thing to bed. We're going to have a Chassa-sponsored hockey team in town. Now, like you said, you've got to be on cloud nine, man, because I know how hard you've worked on making this happen.
Yeah, it's, and obviously I got to credit a lot of parents that were involved in this process as well. I was able to put together a high school committee within our club of parents that have kids, not only that are approaching the high school age, but also some younger kids as well, to try and set up high school hockey and hockey for ages 15 and older in Grand Junction. So that way these kids do not have to leave out of our Grand Valley into other towns to try and participate in high school sport for ice hockey. So, I mean, I got to credit them. They did so much legwork and everything to be able to, put together a proposal, get it in front of the Caprock board. Working with Dan, who's fantastic. I can't say enough positive things about Dan Salazar, the AD over there at Caprock. So just a whole bunch of work, getting together, showing their board and their school and everything that, even though hockey can have a larger budget than some of these other sports, that it is possible to balance that budget and still keep it affordable for students and players that will be playing high school hockey.
Now, what's the relationship with Grand Junction Hockey, with River City Sportplex and Caprock Academy? Talk about that relationship and what that looks like moving forward, because it really is those entities working together to bring hockey, high school hockey, to realization here in the Valley.
Absolutely. So first of all, with the facility, with River City Sportplex, Caprock will be, getting ice and purchasing ice and using that facility as their home, facility for the ice hockey. So they will be, and then we're going to be hanging some Caprock stuff up, Caprock hockey team, et cetera. Potentially look at trying to find space for them maybe to get a locker room as we expand our facility and stuff like that, and just make it feel like a home environment for the Caprock Eagles. From the youth hockey standpoint, now I do have a place to kind of build all these kids up, all of my 14 and under kids, which we were sitting at, 120 of these guys last year. Now I have a place for them to feel like they have a home and can play once they reach the high school level. So I'll be able to develop and continue on our route to get better as Grand Junction Youth Hockey Club and give these kids now an opportunity to play in high school. And then so we'll kind of act as almost a feeder system for once these kids get to high school, to the high school age, they, you know, they'll kind of make that transition over to Chassa Sports and be able to participate with Caprock. So we'll kind of be feeding Caprock, you know, these players that we develop. You know, the goal is to try and get every single kid to be involved in Chassa. Sometimes we'll have some kids, you know, that might be extremely talented and find other avenues to go play. And we still might have kids that are not good enough to potentially make the Chassa varsity or JV team, and we'll still have other avenues available for them. So the goal, though, is that all these kids, that once they reach the high school age, they will be able to participate in local high school hockey that's being offered here in Grand Junction.
Well, we had three from Fruita Monument, I know that played with you previously, Braden Schwetman, Caleb Holm, Chase Pennell, that played for Glenwood Springs. Glenwood Springs lost in the 4A championship game a few months ago. And so those kids, guys like that, are now going to have the chance to play here in the Valley and play for a team right here in Grand Junction. And that's an exciting thing where, yeah, you now have a direct pipeline, a place for these guys to go, guys and girls, we should say, at the high school level.
Yeah, correct. So those three guys, you know, they're playing hockey at a high level. We couldn't really offer them much development before last night. So, you know, it's extremely, extremely satisfying to see that, you know, the Caprock values and their thought process aligned with what we're trying to do as a Grand Junction Hockey Club. And those three guys, you know, we've been talking to them briefly, and, you know, and they obviously have a decision now to make if they're going to continue playing up in Glenwood or not, or playing here. But, you know, this first season, it looks like we'll be JV. And then hopefully after this first season, we'll be able to lock in a varsity spot. Particularly at 4A, so we would be competing with that Glenwood Springs High School team as well. And I think it's that if you play for a varsity Chassa team, you're ineligible for a varsity to switch varsity teams the year after. So we will have kids playing on this JV team this upcoming fall. And then with the ideal that we'll be making a varsity team here in two seasons.
Jackson Wilson, River City Sportplex, joining us today. Caprock Academy's board approving Chassa sponsored ice hockey to start this fall. So my next question is, are you going to be coaching this team?
You know, the thought has been tossed around. You know, I think, you know, I'm definitely one of the people that Dan would love to take the venture on with this. That as of right now, I don't think I will be the one to head coach this team. Billy Dressel, who coached our 18U team last year, did a phenomenal job and was a great mentor to all these kids and this team specifically. He would be my first choice to be the head coach of this Chassa team. You know, I'm still working on trying to build up the Grand Junction Youth Hockey Club and, you know, try and get us in a spot where we have the numbers and the talent to feed this team. So I'm still working a lot on the back end and with the younger kids and our 14A team, which will be the kids that'll go into high school after this season, to try and go ahead and get them ready and feed, you know, a more successful competition into the Chassa team. So as we're sitting right now, Jim, I don't think so, but also, I mean, you know me, I'm the crazy hockey guy, so anything's kind of on the table.
I didn't mean to put you on the spot. I was thinking, well, it makes some sense, but also it makes sense for you to keep doing what you're doing to develop players to go play at the Caprock Academy Eagles. So they have that kind of talent. It's developing the kids at the younger age where they have that kind of talent. And I know one of the things that Dan Salazar talked about was it'll be a JV program initially, and then the hope is to become a varsity program maybe the following cycle or the following year, since we're coming to the back end of a cycle here, so they'll start as a JV program. And that also is kind of dependent on how competitive they are. I mean, you know, the kids are, you know, going to be comprising this team. I get the sense the move to varsity is not going to take very long.
I don't think so. Just the progress that the group made last year. You know, we last year was the first year, you know, we kind of had that 18U team going on, right? And then they won their league. And now we're moving into JV Chassa here this upcoming season, and it looks like they're going to do very well. You know, we still have a sophomore goalie. So he's young, he's battling, and we'll have another goalie coming up in a couple years to help as well. So I don't think it's going to take as long. We also have juniors and seniors playing on this team next year that will be JV. So it'll be interesting. I mean, these guys got to go to work, and, you know, that's kind of something we told these high schools. It's like, all right, listen, guys, like, this is great. You know, we achieved one of our goals, and that's something that we should be extremely proud of. But now the work really starts. So now we really got to prove to not only Chassa, but these other organizations, teams, high schools, that we will be looking to make the jump fairly quickly from JV to varsity. So we need to go out and perform. We need to be, ready to roll here when the fall season rolls around.
I mentioned that Glenwood Springs was the 4A runner-up last year, lost in overtime. And Crested Butte, Steamboat Springs, these schools, Durango, all these schools are part of what would be the league, if you will, for the Caprock Academy Eagles. You've seen the youth talent at these different places. I guess it kind of expanding on, we're talking about how soon will this team be ready to play varsity hockey. You've seen the talent in those towns. Obviously, we apparently match up fairly well here, don't we?
Yeah, I would agree. It's still a process in which we, you know, need to develop our players, and you don't want to get too far ahead of yourselves. But I think we will match up fairly well against these other towns and teams, especially with the influx of players that we have moving here. We had a young man, Connor, you know, I can't remember his last name right now. I just met him yesterday before the Caprock meeting, and he even called into the Caprock meeting. Young gentleman who's be a senior this year. He's going to go to Fruita Monument. He played at Ralston Valley at Denver High School. And he's moving out here. And I said, listen, buddy, like, we're going to have JV next year. I mean, it's not going to be, you know, what the varsity 5A hockey you played last season. He said, coach, you know, I really don't care. Like, I just want to be able to play kind of for the hometown team and participate and have fun. So if we keep having guys that are bought in that move here and are talented players, that, you know, the influx of kids and hockey players, we're kind of getting in Grand Junction. I think we're just building, and the sky's the limit right now.
Jackson Wilson, River City Sportplex, Grand Junction Hockey Club with us on the Team Sports Network. I talked with Dan Salazar about this a little bit in regard to the dollars, because that's always been a stumbling block. And District 51 Athletic Director Paul Kane kind of addressed that. It's like, look, I wish we had the money to do this from a district standpoint. We just don't. And I understand Paul's position, and I think Paul's done everything he possibly can on his side of things to make this happen. And I know in the statement the Caprock Academy released that Paul was thrilled that this is coming to fruition. But from a dollars and cents standpoint, Jackson, how does this come together? Because there was the $60,000 in that neighborhood to kind of get this off the ground. Where does that all come from? How does it come together?
Yeah, so first, hockey families are, you know, it's an expensive sport. So these families, when they get bought in and their kid turns about 9 years old, hockey families are exposed to the cost of gear, registration prices, travel expenses, so on and so forth. The sweatshirts you buy at tournaments, as every, you know, travel youth family understands, right? So they understand these expenses. So the budget side of things, at least from the registration aspect, you know, doesn't necessarily catch anyone by surprise. We did have a very generous individual who is looking to help push high school hockey forward and is willing to donate some money to help balance the budget in which Caprock was concerned with as well. So we do have some funding on the back end a little bit to be able to help support this budget and this program. But also with that being said, you know, the whole other side of it is the hockey families understanding that, hey, like, we're going to have to, you know, pay this much registration fee to be able to push Chaffa Hockey through, you know, and so we're super excited about that. And even though the $60,000 budget number is, you know, fairly large for a high school sport, it's also not uncommon for that budget to be around that area for really a, you know, a Western Slope Chaffa Hockey team. So we're excited. Like, the numbers match up. We're super pumped about it. You know, parents are on board. We've been communicating with our membership and now who will be the Caprock Eagles hockey team players throughout the whole process. So they're aware of what the timeline looks like, the financial commitment, as well as the breakdown of travel and everything, you know, along those lines. So, no, we're super excited. And, you know, it looks expensive right out of the gate because it is ice hockey and you got to pay for the ice and a lot of other small things. It's a niche sport like that. But it's we're super excited and lucky to have people willing to help as much as they're willing to invest.
And when we talked with Dan Salazar earlier, if you're listening and you're interested in getting your student athlete, this is boys and girls, involved in the Caprock Academy Eagles hockey program, they should contact Dan Salazar first, correct? Or I guess they could reach out to you and then you could put them in contact with Dan, correct?
Yeah, absolutely. If you have a player interested in participating in the, you know, Chaffa for the Caprock hockey team, definitely reach out to Dan. Part of the high school hockey with Chaffa is their season runs from November 15th to February 15th. So prior to November 15th, about September to November, our hockey program will still operate a fall team, basically, before the Chaffa season to prepare the kids and make sure that they're ready for when Chaffa starts again. So that's just another unique partnership that our club is having with Dan and Caprock, in the sense that we will be, as the hockey club, developing these players for about 8 weeks, and then there will be a switch over for 4 months to the Chaffa season, and then potentially maybe a couple weeks to a tournament at the end after the Chaffa season. So if you reach out to Dan, the AD of Caprock, or if you reach out to me, Jax Wilson, the hockey director at River City Sportplex and Grand Junction Riverhawks, we will both be able to put your player in the best position possible to participate and succeed at the high school level.
All right. Man, I'm thrilled for you. Like I said, I know this has been a dream of yours to have this come to fruition, and it's finally happened with your hard work and a lot of other people and their hard work as well to make Chaffa-sponsored hockey reality here in the Valley. Before I let you go, Golden Knights get it done last night, their first Stanley Cup. Stone has the hat trick, the first in a cup-clinching game since Forsberg in 96, I believe, is what I saw when the Avalanche did it to the Florida Panthers. How ironic is that? But it was a series that didn't have a whole lot of drama when you really think about it. I mean, Vegas pretty much dominated the series.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the biggest thing was Matthew Tkachuk on the Panthers not being able to play last night. Guy had a broken sternum, got a broken sternum in game three, played in it in game four. Supposedly his brother had to help him out of his bed for, you know, his pregame, from his pregame nap and stuff. So that guy's an absolute warrior. But, yeah, Vegas had it the whole way. I was talking to Cake in there last week, and we were talking about it. And I was five games. Six was even pushing it. And, you know, that party in Vegas last night had probably still going, Jim, actually. So, you know, they deserved it. They enjoyed it. They had a good team all year. They figure out their goaltending situation and Aiden Hill. So, but no, congrats to the Vegas Golden Knights. You know, and it was definitely a series in which, you know, didn't peak a lot of national interest in it being Vegas and Florida, but, you know, it was still good. It was still fun. And, you know, and there's a lot of sad people rolling around Miami this week because both their teams blew it and they on the biggest stage.
And as a Nuggets fan, I'm loving that, to be quite honest. So, hey, Jackson, appreciate it. Thank you.
Thanks. And, hey, just the last thing about this piece of high school, which
sure,
I'm super excited for, is that, you know, once we get these varsity teams and these Chaffa teams, these 4A, 5A teams, that are going to come play home games here in Grand Junction. I was talking to a couple of the CMU players last night. The recruiting for CMU is now only going to get better because they're going to have access to all these high school kids that are now going to be coming into Grand Junction and possibly having a chance to look at CMU, the campus, the high school team, how they operate. So hopefully that'll also include better recruitment for the college and try and bump up the CMU numbers as well.
Absolutely. All right, Jackson Wilson from River City Sportplex, who joined us last week to talk about the announcement from Cap Rock Academy that they'll have Chassa-sponsored hockey starting this fall. Start as a JV program. And anybody in the area, not just here in the Valley, but if you happen to play hockey and you drive down here from Delta or from Cedar Edge or anywhere here on the Western Slope, that if the Cap Rock Academy program is closer to you, all those student athletes, all those hockey players from other schools that are in the surrounding area are certainly welcome to come and try out for the team coming up this fall. All right, 9:31, Jim along with the Buckeye Boy. Text or call us. Well, mostly text this morning because our phone, we're having still some issues with some of our equipment here this morning after we were not able to bring you a show on Friday. But you can still text us this morning. The good, the bad, the ugly, 970-242-1340. We'll take a break. We'll come back with more on the Jim Davis Show on the Team Sports Network.
They're a lot of fun.
Oh. The Jim Davis Show.
They're idiots.
What? On Colorado's sports leader, the team.
Welcome back, 9:33. Jim along with the Buckeye Boy. Text or call us, 970-242-1340. All right. Shall we talk about the movie The Flash?
Sure.
Why not?
Yeah, why not?
Happy Juneteenth, by the way.
Yes. Don't spoil the movie for the pile. I mean, you can spoil it for me, but I know some of the
I'll try not to do that. Because there's a lot of stuff that's already out about the film. It did not get off to the best of starts at the box office.
Mm-hmm.
A little bit disappointing. I guess just without ruining too much, because everybody knows that Michael Keaton's Batman is in it, yeah. So I don't think that's blowing up anything. He's freaking awesome in it, and it makes me wish they would do some kind of Batman movie with Michael Keaton. He was supposed to be in Batgirl, that mm-hmm. they filmed pretty much all of it and then shelved it when there was the whole Warner Brother Discovery merger and all that stuff that went on. But Michael Keaton's great in it. It's great to see him back playing Batman. And his Batman is... He's a bad, bad man, and he's great mm-hmm. in it. Sasha Calle, Supergirl, she was really good. I thought Ezra Miller was better than I thought. A lot of issues with Ezra Miller over the last several months. And there was some debate whether or not Ezra Miller would continue as the Flash, whether they would try to reshoot things, cast somebody else. He's fine in it. If they go a different direction, it's probably going to be just fine, as which seems to be the case with James Gunn now running the DC universe. But it's a lot of the cameos, though, which I don't want to talk about too much. There's a couple. I thought Ben Affleck was great as Batman again in it. It was kind of supposed to be his final run at playing Batman. Thought he was great in some of the sequences they had. The action sequences with Batman were really, really good. With both Michael Keaton's Batman and Ben Affleck's Batman in this case. It just seemed a little cobbled together with the change in direction for DC and what James Gunn plans to do with Superman Legacy, Brave and the Bold, recasting Superman and Batman, the addition of the Green Lantern with the Lanterns series is supposed to be out, which is supposed to be part of what will be the new DC cinematic universe. Then there's the Elseworlds part of it, which will continue on with Robert Pattinson as Batman and the Joker played by, of course, Joaquin Phoenix. Those will be not part of the regular canon, the cinematic universe going forward. Those will be standalone films, what they call the Elseworlds, a different part of what the DC universe is going to do. That was fine. It was fun. It just seemed like there was a lot cobbled together because we know what's going to happen moving forward with the Snyderverse, Zack Snyder's, you know, Justice League and Batman versus Superman and Man of Steel, that those films and Wonder Woman, all that's now coming to an end. That it didn't feel like, okay, we're wrapping it up here. This is how we're finishing things. It didn't feel like that. It felt like we started this film originally. It was going to be part of that universe.
Mm-hmm.
And then we got the sale happened and we got kind of caught up here. We invested too much time and money in this. And Andy Muschietti, who directed it, was kind of tasked with find a way to bring this thing home, but not with Henry Cavill as Superman, because they said we're done with Henry Cavill as Superman. Of course, he made the cameo in Black Adam at the end of that film. We're supposed to set up Black Adam, Shazam, all that being part of the DC universe. Mm-hmm. And then, well, everything has now fallen apart.
And I know the Shazamily was kind of brought in a little bit with their post-credit. How long has it been since the last Flash? Is it okay to say what happened there at the end of that movie?
At the end of which movie?
The Shazam 2, Fury from the whatevers.
Oh, Fury of the Gods?
Fury of the Gods, yeah. Because is it too soon?
The movie's been out, what, a year or so? No, I mean, a few months, not a year necessarily. Several months?
Let's see. When was it released? March?
Okay, so it's been out for a while. Yeah, I
mean, Wonder Woman's in it. Just cover your ears, kids.
Right.
Wonder Woman's
She's also
in the movie.
In The Flash,
yeah.
too.
Yeah, so The Flash, or Shazam has kind of been brought in, right? I thought that was a little bit more natural than the way it sounds like The Flash is kind of doing things, you know.
And there were cool cameos in it.
Yeah,
of people that are sadly no longer with us, and also of one version of Superman that never happened, but a lot of diehard fans of Superman have always talked about.
Yeah, that they know
that they. It's Superman Lives, mm-hmm. which was an ill-fated film, which I'll just state, Nicolas Cage plays Superman. And I'll give you that much. If you want to throw rocks at me, fine. Nicolas Cage's
just
version
sure
of Superman.
Make sure he's outside first if you're going to throw rocks at him.
He does make an appearance in the film, a CGI version of Nick Cage. But there's lots of other stuff there that I'm not even touching upon.
Mm-hmm.
It just seemed a little bit slapdash. It was fun. It was still a fun movie to watch. But it just seemed a little like where are we going with this? Because it's not going
anywhere.
What's
the end game here?
Because there isn't any place for it to really go. Are they going to continue to use Ezra Miller as the Flash? We don't know that. We're not sure what's going to happen with him.
Is
Aquaman going to continue to be Jason Momoa? And he makes an appearance in the film as well. We don't know where that's going. But I did not mention the best cameo, the most shocking cameo, which they actually had to reshoot the end of the movie.
Mm-hmm.
I'll leave that alone. You'll go, okay, cool. I would have liked to have seen him have a chance to be in this film. More than what I'm seeing him.
I am looking forward. What is it? I didn't know this is not necessarily The Flash or DC even at all. But Secret Invasion is coming up on Disney Plus on Wednesday. Kind of looking forward to that.
Should be good.
Sam Jackson. I wonder how Sam Jackson works in a TV show that's on Disney.
Well,
two don't really pair together.
Yeah, I didn't know what you mean.
But
Ben Mendelsohn's in it.
Yeah.
Who's I think he's a great actor.
Amelia Clark's in it.
Olivia Colman.
Mm-hmm. Colby Smulders is in it.
Yeah. So it's Agent Hill.
Yep. So yeah, it's gonna be pretty interesting. It looks and it sounds like. I'm kind of looking forward to it.
I have heard it's more Winter Soldier, that tone.
Yeah. Like the show or the second movie?
The movie. The show is going to be how that kind of tone to God, it.
I feel like I'm, because that's my favorite Captain America. I like Civil War. Yeah, that's an Avengers movie. That's not a Captain America. My favorite Captain America is the Winter Soldier.
Yeah. From what I've read, that it's supposed to be, from a tonal standpoint, supposed to be more like that movie. A little more.
Yeah.
As much as any superhero movie can be grounded in reality, it's more of that tone, which that film was kind of more that way.
Yeah.
Winter Soldier.
That felt more like involved in the real world than most anything else. And I like the Winter Soldier. I like Sebastian Stan in that character. I'm looking forward to Thunderbolts too.
Yeah, could be good.
So, but yeah, I'm kind of geeked up about the way the multiple comic book universes are going.
Yeah, we'll see
if they turn out the way that we all hope they do.
DC will be interesting in regard to who do they cast as Superman and Batman, and
they got to get their writers. They got to do what kind of Marvel has done, where it all runs through the one guy. Like, they have essentially a cohesion coordinator.
Well, it seems like it's going to be James Gunn, because Gunn's writing the first Superman movie.
Well, that's, I don't care who it is.
Yeah, but
they just have to have somebody that's like, well, to at least, you can all have your own movies and they can look and sound and feel all different, but you got to at least all be working towards, pardon the pun, the same end game.
They all have to be linked together and make sense.
Yeah.
And that's where The Flash, it feels like, well, we want to try to link it to the Snyderverse, but now we know it's not going anywhere. Then what, I mean, what is...
Let it be standalone and start your own.
And that's, I think that's kind of what just, okay, we're done with this part of it now. Yeah. It doesn't matter that there wasn't any kind of real...
There's no real payoff.
Payoff in the ending. It's just, we're done.
Mm-hmm.
And there's other multiverses out there, and if you want to consider this the new DC stuff,
it happens with TV shows all the time. There's cliffhangers to end the season, show gets canceled, we have no idea what happened to Leroy Jethro Gibbs or whatever, whoever it is, right? I know NCIS is still going on. I haven't watched it in 10 years. But they just need somebody, whether it's James Gunn or even if it's Zaslow. Chris Light has got plenty of time on his hands now since he's no longer at CNN. Whoever they want to keep this in a database of, you know, let me read that, and, you know, this doesn't vibe with the idea that we have. Like the Kevin Feige guy at Marvel. Right. Everything all kind of flowed through him at some point in the process. DC needs that guy because all their movies kind of seem slapdash. At least the Marvel movies kind of all follow the string a little bit.
There's some canon, some continuity there.
Yeah. Continuity. That's what I was looking for. Not cohesion.
Yeah.
A continuity coordinator.
And apparently Gunn's going to be that guy. I would.
Hopefully.
Because he's the architect.
His work's pretty good.
He's the architect, of course, Guardians of the Galaxy and Suicide Squad and some of those.
Right.
That there seems to be, he's the guy that's going to be the guiding voice and vision of what they do.
And
Flash is okay. Yeah. It's not a bad movie. It's worth going to see Michael Keaton as Batman. Simple as that. And a couple of trademark, you know, standard lines from him from the original films are great to hear him say that again. And just cool to see that version of Batman back in a film. All right, 9:45, and it's time for this day in sports history.
That's the story of the greatest sport moment of all of history.
It's time to take a trip back in time. It's this day in sports history.
All right, that was your non-sports talk on a sports talk show for the day.
Yeah, now we'll be back to stay in our lanes.
All right. We go back to 1846. Alexander Joy Cartwright. While a lot of people think Abner Doubleday was the guy that brought us baseball, Cartwright's really considered by more people to be the father of professional organized baseball. Cartwright was a volunteer fireman in 1845 when he first got involved in the game of town ball, one of the many forebears of baseball. Cartwright devised a set of playing conditions to make the often chaotic game more standardized, including setting the bases 90 feet apart, and founded the New York Knickerbockers Ball Club, the first in baseball history. And so they played the New York Nine, a group that consisted mostly of cricket players. The Nine obliterated the Knickerbockers 23-1 in four innings. Undeterred, Cartwright continued to span the country, taking the game of baseball with him wherever he went.
Damn, the Knicks suck in two sports.
Yeah, exactly. And they were supposed to be, he's the guy that created the game, essentially. Yeah. the way we played.
Got waxed in his own game.
By a bunch of guys that never played it.
Oh, man.
1942, Paul Wehner gets the 3,000th hit of his career off a pitch from Braves pitcher Rip Sewell, making him the seventh player to reach the 3,000 hit plateau. Wehner was nicknamed Big Poison. And his brother Lloyd, also made the Hall of Fame along with Paul Wehner, was nicknamed Little Poison. In the case of Paul, the nickname was, I guess, fit, because he was a notorious drinker, played better drunk than he did sober. Played softball some guys like that. They're way better when they're
guys like that.
They're way better when they're half crocked. And then 1967 on this day, after two seasons with the San Francisco Warriors, Rick Barry signs with the Oakland Oaks of the American Basketball Association, becoming the first NBA player to defect to the ABA. Barry had led the league in scoring at 35.6 points per game. Didn't like the fact that the Warriors didn't offer him incentive awards. The Warriors sued, claiming that they still had him under contract for another year. A California judge ruled that Barry could not play with the Oaks until his Warriors contract expired. Rather than return to San Francisco, he just sat out the season. Nobody would do that now.
No, not at all.
Spent 4 years in the ABA and then re-signed with the Warriors when he completed his obligations in the ABA. And so, I have one more today. 1984. A day that will live in infamy if you're a Portland Trailblazers fan. Because you know what happened on this day?
Sam Bowie.
Who they selected over?
Mitchell Jordan, I believe, is his name.
Would be Michael Jordan, but the first letter was correct.
So close. I heard he was all right, but the name difference is understandable.
And here's the thing. When they drafted Sam Bowie, that he had, because he was a talented player, but he had missed two full years of basketball in college with the leg injury. So he already had a bad injury history.
Yeah.
Which only got worse when he got to the NBA. He played in 25 games in his career, and that's it.
Yep.
And he was done. Well, Michael Jordan went on to win, what, 6 titles?
Yeah. Sam Bowie never got swept in the playoffs, though.
That's true. He never did. Had that going for him.
Yep.
Take that, Michael Jordan.
Yeah.
All right, 9:49. We will take a break. We'll come back, wrap it up some garbage time. That's on the way on the Jim Davis Show on the Team Sports Network.
Yeah, I think they're like the best on the radio.
At least at the pro level, the best of the best.
The Jim Davis Show on Colorado Sports Leader, the Team.
Welcome back, 9:52. Jim and the Buckeye Boy. On tomorrow's program, we'll talk a little Gene Taylor's American Legion Baseball with Dave Yonke and your chance to win. Thank you.
That's what I was looking for.
We both love Dave. Dave's a great guy.
We do.
So we'll have that tomorrow. Also, Triple Play Records, Stadium Cinema. So join us tomorrow for that on the program. All right. Time to open up the lid and hop in. It is garbage time.
We're taking out the trash. It's garbage time on the Jim Davis Show on the Team.
Oh, I love trash.
All right, if you're wondering, did Nikola Jokic make it home in time to Sombor to watch Dreamcatcher, race horse? He did. Now, we're not sure if he borrowed a jet from Josh Kroenke or not, because remember, he should have. We're not sure about that. But he did make it back to Sombor, where he was greeted with a billboard reading, Welcome Home, MVP, and showed him in his Nuggets jersey. Also, they had some other celebratory posters and things like that there for him. And at the Hippodrome in Sombor, beer and barbecue, they had that for folks, and a lot of people celebrating him. He got to the horse track a little bit late, did not talk with the media. His dad said he's not going to talk to the media. Branislav Jokovic said that he's had enough of publicity, just wanted to go there to watch his horse.
Mm-hmm.
And Jokic developed a strong passion for horses and horse racing when he was a kid. And it almost took him away from playing basketball that he got so into to horses. But fortunately for us here in Colorado, that was not the case. But yes, Nikola Jokic, able to get back to Sombor in time to watch Dreamcatcher. And he deserves that.
Yes. And you know what? He's in his off time. He doesn't need to talk to the media.
Exactly.
Should he probably chat with Serbian media at some point because he's a local national hero at this point? Yeah, probably. But like if Brian Windhorst is sitting there at the horse track in, Sombor or wherever else,
probably doesn't need to do that interview.
Right, exactly. He's talked to the American media enough. Do you have anything?
No, I don't. I'm just looking more into this DCU business.
Okay. All right. Yeah, I would say go see The Flash. It's worth seeing.
Yeah. I like the Shazam movies. Hopefully they find a way to tie those in, too.
Yep, hopefully so. All right, well, that's our show for today. Thanks again for joining us. And back with you, fingers crossed, tomorrow on the program. And give us full three tomorrow from 7 to 10. And don't forget, Rockies at Cincinnati tonight. Coverage starts at 4:30 on The Team. For the Buckeye Boy, I'm Jim. Have a great day.